चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनो विश्वं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकामयं ददति स्वापदात्तिकं मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपासमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं विनचरणम्। Today we're going to be looking at the fourth section of the second chapter. I'll read. From Surrender Unto Me, which describes what's going on here. In verses 11 to 30, the last class and the class before, we did more or less the verses 11 to 30, which covered specifically Dhyana Yoga, or Jnana, knowledge of the soul in relationship to the body. And basically we learned the body is temporary, soul is permanent. So, to remove Arjuna's arguments against finding, Krishna presented Jnana, the difference between the body and the soul. Because Arjuna and the other warriors are eternal souls, no one would die. Only the body, which unavoidably perishes, can be slain. After presenting those arguments, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight based on fruitive consideration. So the next section of the Bhagavad Gita, 31 to 38, Krishna is more or less encouraging Arjuna to fight based on principles which aren't really spiritual in one sense. You know, people will mock you. You know, that's not really, you know, a transcendentalist doesn't care if he gets mocked or not. Right? But still it's an argument. He's a chakya. Not only that, he's also encouraging Arjuna to fight based on his duty, which is a higher principle. Or, shall we say, higher than you know, fighting because you don't want to be called a chicken or a baby. After presenting those arguments, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight based on fruitive considerations, karma, to gain pleasure and to avoid suffering. And really, at the end of this section that we're about to study today, and I'll come back to this quotation. Krishna is leading on to fight, but fight in knowledge. You know, because the usual idea of cultivating knowledge is to become detached and renounced. And traditionally, becoming detached and renounced means going off to the forest. Right? Just giving up everything. In fact, we'll discuss this point. Giving up everything and becoming a tapasvi or a vairagi, sannyasi, right? Renunciation. But what Krishna does is teaches us, what he does now, or what he's going to do, after he's encouraged Arjuna to fight for some fairly almost mundane principles, he's going to encourage Arjuna how to fight, but act in knowledge, and armed with that knowledge, act in a way that is detached also. so that the proper understanding of action is going to be taught in relationship to karma yoga. A very important point, especially for us as devotees. A very nice section of the Bhagavad Gita, actually. This is a very nice, important section of the Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna has spoken basically jnana. They're not the body, they're not going to die. Right? Everybody's body dies. Right? As Prabhupada says, you know, what's the point of having peace when everybody dies anyway? Right? What's the point of having a peaceful situation? Especially in the 60s when Prabhupada began his preaching in America, you know, peace and love was all the rage. All you need is love. Huh? And so this philosophy was, you know, predominant. Peace. We should have peace. But Prabhupada makes the argument, why peace? You may close the door. What he says, you may close the door, but outside the blizzards and the heat and the disasters and so forth, they'll all go on. So, let's investigate this a little more closely. Text 31. Svadhamama pichaveksyana vimut navikam pitumahasi damyadhi yudhach payonyat chatriyasyana vidyate. Considering your specific duty as a chatriya, you should know that there is no better engagement for you than fighting on religious principles, and so there is no need for hesitation. So Arjuna was saying, it'll be irreligious if we fight. And Krishna is saying, it'll be irreligious if you don't fight. Turning the tables on him. Prabhupada mentions here, there are two kinds of swadharmas, specific duties. Right? As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one's swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. So, there's two types of swadharma. Right? One is on the liberated platform. And the other one is on the material platform. This is pretty much tied in with Vanashrama. This one is one's, if you like, Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma meaning the natural proclivity of the soul to act as a servant of God, and it's not at all, it's completely free from any material consideration. In the bodily conception of life, however, down here, in the material sense of swadharma, there are specific duties for the brahmanas and kshatriyas respectively, and for the sutras and for the vaishyas. And such duties are unavoidable. Swadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. On the bodily plane, swadharma is called Vanashram Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Human civilization begins from the stage of Vanashram Dharma, or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action, in accordance with the orders of higher authority, serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. So, what Krishna is saying to Arjuna here is, you have a responsibility to act. It's your religious duty to act based on the principle of Vanashram Dharma. Right? basically he's saying, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that just as a brahmana may perform yajñas and sacrifices as his duty to elevate people, so similarly also the kshatriya has to act, perform his duty for the elevation and for the protection of society. So he says, you know, they have to, they're trained in the forest to kill, fight with tigers and so forth. So that their skills as a protector of the citizenry can be sharpened and honed. And then the animals that are killed as a result of that training, then they're offered in sacrifice. What does Prabhupada say? They're offered the royal order of cremation. So Arjuna was saying, if I fight, it'll be sinful and will be degraded. Krishna's saying, if you don't fight, it's sinful and you'll be degraded because you're not performing your religious duty, your swadharma, as a kshatriya. Right? Each one of us has a particular mood and inclination, guna karma vibhaga saha. We have our qualities and our innate aptitude.
Proclivity
to act. That will then determine what role we perform in the Varnashram system. Of course, the Varnashram system is designed ultimately to bring us to this point. And to bring us to this point, this performance of Varnashram has to be performed with a particular mentality, with the correct kind of mentality, which we'll come to a bit later on. O Pata, happy are the kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly planets. Right, so instead of lamenting, oh, now I have to fight, you should be happy. Oh, fantastic, now I've got a chance to prove my strength and prowess, and if I'm removing the miscreants, they'll be blessed. Right? And I'll be blessed. Really, that's what Krishna's saying. But if you don't do it, Krishna's saying, Prabhupada says here, as supreme teacher of the world, Lord Krishna condemns the attitude of Arjuna, who said, I do not find any good in this fighting. It will cause perpetual habitation in hell. Prabhupada says, such statements by Arjuna were due to ignorance only. He wanted to become non-violent in the discharge of his specific duty. For a kshatriya to be on the battlefield and to become non-violent is the philosophy of fools. Although Prabhupada does say it may be used for purposes of diplomacy. Right? No, we don't want to fight. It's not good to fight. In the meantime, he's got his club just by his side, just to show that if there is the opportunity, then we will use our club. Right? This is what North Korea is doing at the moment, letting off missiles to make everybody else think that they're really powerful. Their economy is a basket case. In fact, most of the other states around North Korea are worried about the regime collapsing because it will mean, you know, the economy for South Korea will go down, China and South Korea will get lots of refugees, and so they're sort of, this is Bridgemanship going on, right? So he's using his missiles as a threat. So, you know, in some circumstances, slightly different example, but in some circumstances, yes, a kshatriya might say, you know, no, we're into peace. Peace, man. But actually he has his army to back him up. If, however, you do not perform your religious... So here's what he's saying, as is very often the case in Krishna's teaching. He says, here's the positive thing from fighting. Everybody will go to the heavenly planets, right? If they lose, they'll still win, right? If you win, you win, and if you lose, you win. This is the argument. But If you don't perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties, and not only that, lose your reputation as a fighter. This is a slightly more mundane argument. People won't say, oh, what a peaceful soul. What a sadhu Arjuna is. He didn't want to fight. I won't say that at all. But what I say, people will always speak of your infamy. And for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Huh? Purport. Both the strength and philosophy to Arjuna, Lord Krishna now gives his final judgment regarding Arjuna's refusal to fight. The Lord says, Arjuna, if you leave the battlefield before the battle even begins, people will call you a coward. And if you think that people may call you bad names, but they will save your life by fleeing the battlefield, then my advice is you do better to die in the battle. Now, why is that? Because that's the chivalrous code of a Kshatriya. Prabhupada gives the example of one king from Rajasthan who had been defeated in battle. And he came home to his fort. And his wife had heard that he'd been defeated. So she said, lock the gates. And then he came and he noticed that the gates were locked. And he said, why are the gates locked? He said, send a message up to the gatekeeper, open up the gates so I can come in. And the gatekeeper went to the queen and said, you've ordered me to close the gates, but your husband is at the gates wanting to come in. And she said, he's not my husband. He's an imposter. If my husband was defeated, he would have laid his life down on the battlefield. This man must be a charlatan. Don't let him in. Huh? The moral fibre of the Kshatriyas. Dishonour is worse than death. Right? If you're going to lose, then die fighting on the battlefield. For a respectable man like you, ill fame is worse than death. So you should not flee for fear of your life. Better to die in the battle. That will save you from the ill fame of misusing my friendship. Right? I'm not going to be associated with a coward. Krishna's saying, I'm not going to be associated with a coward, so you better go out and fight and be killed. That will save you from the ill fame of misusing my friendship and from losing your prestige in society. So the final judgment of the Lord was for Arjuna to die in the battle and not withdraw. The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Your enemies will describe you in many unkind words and scorn your ability. What could be more painful for you? O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. Text 38. Sukha dukkhe same kritva labha labho jaya jayo tato yudhaya yudhyasva naivam papam avapsyasi. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting. Now here, Krishna is introducing the concept of karma yoga. But the concept of karma yoga, acting with detachment. Because there is karma yoga where one performs sacrifices and yajñas that take one and elevate one to the heavenly planets. Right? This is a type of karma yoga. Not exactly yoga, but it's a type of karma acting according to religious principles. Acting according to your duty, if you like. Swadharma here. But then, what Krishna is encouraging here is slightly different. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing, you shall never incur sin. Purport. Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting because he desires the battle. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or gain, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. That everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna is transcendental consciousness, so there's no reaction to material activities. Right? So this is what is called Naishkaram Karma Yoga. Naishkarma.
Yes.
N-A-I-S. Naishkarma. Or Nishkarma, however you like to pronounce it. N-A-I-S. So, this kind of action is dutiful action performed with detachment. There are two types of this Naishkarma Karma Yoga. Two types. There's the detached knowing I'm not the body. Right? So whatever results come about as a result of my activities, I'm not the doer. But this is jnana. This is based on jnana. Jnana yoga. But there's another type of detached activity based on I'm a servant of Krishna. It's slightly different, or it's more elevated. Huh? Where one offers the results to Krishna. This is a subtle point. They're both Naishkarma Karma Yoga, but one is detached based on jnana, that I know I'm not the body. But not necessarily with the same mentality as I'm not the body, I'm a servant of Krishna, and I'm offering the results to Krishna. The results of my work are being offered to Krishna, which is a higher stage of...
Can you give an example of the first one in devotional service?
It's not actually in devotional service.
That one's not?
No. No, in devotional service, it's, as Krishna says, yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat jahosi, didasi, yat, offer everything to me. That's this mentality here. Whereas a person may know, I am a kshatriya. I must act according to my nature. But I know theoretically I'm not the body. And that ultimately this paramatma, the sutra soul, is directing everybody's workings. Because it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. Therefore, I'll act knowing that I'm not the doer. Right? And I'll be detached. It's a form of detachment.
In both the things, the common factor is there is no personal desire, nishkama, no desire, no selfish desire. In both the types of nishkama.
Yes. This is just slightly more elevated in that one understands one's relationship with Krishna more deeply.
So we can say like the Ashtamyogis who merit on the Paramatma feature is like the first one.
Yes, you could say that.
Whereas the Bhaktas are more like the second one.
Yes. Yep. That's an example. The yogis who are meditating on the Super Soul, they're acting in such a way so as to dedicate all of their activities to attaining the realization of the Supreme, but and in one sense they're still focused on a higher goal, right? They're still focused on a higher goal, but it is not as developed as the bhakti yogi who's doing everything to Krishna in his actions. Especially, you know, as I mentioned before, the idea of this jnana yoga is, let me go to the forest and meditate. Exactly. Right? Let me renounce and detach myself from everything. Right? Whereas here, Krishna is encouraging Arjuna, no, don't go off to the forest and renounce everything. Act, but act with a mood of detachment, offering the results of your activities to me. That's the mentality, right? So he's being engaged, rather than renouncing everything. Okay, I'm a devotee, and this is something that we'll discuss. I'm a devotee, so therefore I renounce everything. Right? I think he's not here. Okay. Not feeling well today. To say, for example, Pinky decides all of a sudden, I'm not the body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm renouncing everything material, so I'm not going to look after my daughter, or son, child.
He's an illusion.
Right? Yeah, he's an illusion. My child is an illusion. And bondage, cause of bondage. So I'll detach myself from it all. Right? How practical would that be?
Is that also impersonal?
It's slightly impersonal, yes.
So the second thing is also called Gita Vairagya, using everything in Krishna's service. The
yes.
First one is rejecting everything, thinking that
exactly.
Artificially rejecting everything.
Yes. The meditation is correct in one sense. I'm not the body, I'm a servant of Krishna, I don't have to serve my husband anymore and he can look after the baby. What do you think about that?
Not
practical. Not practical. In one sense it's based on jnana, it's right, in one sense. But in real terms, it doesn't follow this principle of svadharma, following the Varnashram system, where one takes into consideration one's material proclivities or propensities, and then uses them to serve Krishna. So that gradually we can be elevated, eventually we want to come to this platform of fully liberated understanding. We want to come to this point here. But whilst we're conditioned by material existence, we have to then act according to this Varnashram dharma. Does that make sense?
So also that means like the first type of a devotee is not a devotee of Krishna and his destination is not Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, whereas his destination would be a Brahman kind of...
Impersonal.
Yes, impersonal. Yes, that's a good point.
And the second one...
I haven't heard about that.
First is an impersonal, second is a transcendentalist.
Yes. Yeah, because what's lacking here is a fully developed understanding of relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
There may be an understanding of the relationship with the super soul, or there may be an inclination to, as you pointed out, to merge with the Brahman. I'm spiritual, everything ultimately is spiritual, so let me concentrate just on the spiritual being. Right? And this is where the Ashtanga yogis concentrate, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to or the Brahmanandis, they're trying to realize their Brahman form or Brahman, their equality with the Brahman.
You reach some stage of transcendence
with that, wouldn't you? Why not? Yes.
So, as the Mataji said, that might be the stage for going for the second one as well, the first one.
I beg your pardon?
The first one can be the starting stage to reach the second one as well, like I'm not the body.
It can be. Yeah. It can be. Although it rarely is. The way to become a second stage, to become a devotee is to get the association of the devotees. Not stand on your head and perform breathing exercises and so forth. Right? In fact, this is one of the problems with preaching Krishna consciousness. We have a very simple process. Just become a devotee. And when you meet a yogi who's been spending 20 or 30 years pressing his nose, right, and performing all sorts of exercises and control and so forth for the physical body, this is too simple. Well, it's got to be easier than that. Harder than that. More complicated than that. Guru.
In case of Dhruva Maharaj, why it was different? He also meditated.
Dhruva Maharaj?
Yes.
But Dhruva Maharaj did so under the direction of his guru, Narada Muni. Didn't he?
He got association.
Got the association of a devotee.
But he tried for material desire, not for the...
He did try for material desires, but that's okay because he got purified by his austerities and penances.
But startingly, he was thinking he can get something.
Yes, but that story illustrates the potency of bhakti and how, by the association of the devotee, by the performance of his austerities and the purification that came about as a result of that, he eventually was purified of his material aspirations. Although he actually had them fulfilled by the Lord. Right?
But initially when Narada Muni asked to go back, like there will be a stage where you can perform your devotional service, but Dhruva Maharaj did not listen. He said, I want to see God, and that's where Narada Muni gave the mantra to him.
Yeah, well, he had the determination to see God, so that's the same mood as a devotee. Right?
And that was the recommended process in that stage, to go through Ashtanga Yoga.
Well, for him it was, yes, at that point, particular point in time, Narada Muni could see his nature. And engaged him accordingly, according to his nature. Huh? Which is important. He might have, if he was somebody else, he might have been given a different instruction. When Narada Muni met Magrari the hunter, he didn't tell him to go and perform Ashtanga Yoga. He told him, you perform Bhakti Yoga straight away. Which he did. Huh? So, you know, dependence on the person, on the nature of the person. But for Dhruva Maharaj, he got because he's a Kshatriya. So, now Krishna instructs Arjuna to combine both jnana and karma, knowledge and activity, and to fight without material attachment. Working in this detached consciousness is called nishkam karma yoga or buddhi yoga, detached work on the platform of knowledge. Srila Baladeva Vijayabhushan defines buddhi yoga as nishkam karma yoga incorporating jnana within itself. And then here's this point. One can perform nishkam karma yoga on one of two levels, depending upon the advancement of one's transcendental knowledge. Right? Two levels, depending on the advancement of knowledge. One who simply has jnana, knowledge that he is not his body, performs nishkam karma, detached work. Such a person receives no reactions for his work because his knowledge has fostered his detachment from the work's results. Right? Then, the next stage that we talked about here. However, one who has actual knowledge of Krishna possesses superior knowledge. This is superior knowledge. Other than just knowing that one is not the body and one is spiritual by nature, as we mentioned, nicely pointed out. That's the Brahman realization. That's one level, but higher than that is he not only knows his spiritual identity beyond his body, but he also knows that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Such a person also performs nishkam karma, but he receives no reactions from his work because he offers the fruits of his work to Krishna. So that's what is being encouraged now. You know, Krishna has argued, it is two things he's argued in this section. It will be sinful for you not to fight, rather than sinful to fight, right? You'll incur sins. And he's also argued, better that you fight and maintain your
reputation.
Yes, your credibility. Or better that you fight and die. Maintain your credibility. You're a Kshatriya. And then at the end, he says, hence making this point, which will be described in the next section more thoroughly, you should act labha, labho, jaya, jayo, not attached to whether you win or lose. Not attached to whether you're going to be happy or distressed. Whether you gain or lose, get victory or defeated, act in this Nishkam Karma Yoga. Yeah.
There is a doubt for me. Like, there are four yoga systems, Karma Yoga and then Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Like, Karma Yoga, there is one for non-devotees, one for devotees. Karma Yoga for non-devotees is do your duties according to religious principles, but they don't understand anything of Krishna, they don't give the service. Mm-hmm. And for devotees, they give the results to Krishna. I have heard arguments that for devotees, when they do Karma Yoga, there is no such thing as Karma Yoga. That becomes Bhakti Yoga. Is it true?
Yes, it is a form of bhakti because I'm a servant of Krishna, let me offer the result to Krishna is actually bhakti yoga. Yat karosi yada, yas jahosi, yas asnasi, yas jahosi, didasi yat. In other words, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever austerities you perform, whatever you do, do it as an offering to me. That's this. So it is Karma Yoga, but it is the beginning of bhakti, right? Because it may still be done with a sense of duty and with attachment to acting in a particular way, right? Which is something that we'll discuss. Because here's the thing, you know. Sometimes we say, devotees of Krishna are transcendental. And so we're above having to follow the rules of Vanasram. And so therefore, you know, we'll sweep the street for Krishna. We'll wash the pots for Krishna. We'll put out the rubbish for Krishna. Right? We'll also cook for the deities. Study the Shastra. Right? The activities of washing the pots and throwing out the rubbish is a sutra's work. Right? Worshipping the deity and studying the shastra is the activities for a brahmana. Right? So, you know, because it's for Krishna, we'll do anything. But then will we do anything for Krishna? How long can we act on the platform of transcendence when we're still conditioned by our material body? Huh? I know devotees in this community, certainly I've known of devotees in the past, that I couldn't ask them to throw out the rubbish. They wouldn't like to do it.
Yeah.
No, I'm a brahmana. I have a brahmana's mandate. We don't throw out the rubbish. Huh?
But Prabhupada himself said Varnashram system doesn't exist in Kali Yuga.
Tell that to many of the Brahmanas in India.
Prabhupada will be very happy. Because
some of them will be very happy.
Some Brahmanas are being abused in India.
Brahmanas are being abused in India.
Exactly.
Well, that's... In what way?
For education.
They've been discriminated against. Ah, okay. That's probably a reaction for past discrimination against others.
They're both others, sir.
But not them. Anyway, this is the topsy-turvy, twisted, upside-down Kali Yuga. Right? So, good point. We are all transcendental. But, you know, getting back to the example of Pinky, she's going to be your mum. Right? So she can't now say, I'm transcendental and I don't have to do all these duties of looking after my child. Right? So how practical is it to be always transcendental, if you like? We are conditioned at the same time. A very, very pure devotee will act in a very elevated way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever energy I expend, at great effort, and even distress for me, if it's for pleasing for Krishna, that's my pleasure. Right? But I can guarantee that, well, certainly for myself, I don't know about you, but I suspect, sorry, if I force you to do things that you didn't like and said, Prabhu, you're doing it for Krishna. It's transcendental. You're not the body. You're Krishna's servant. Right? You get sick of it after a while. Why? Because we're not on that platform yet. Activity on this platform with detachment, as Krishna's recommending here, can elevate us up to that point. Jai, the pots! I love doing Krishna's pots. In fact, I'll fight anybody for the opportunity to wash Krishna's pots. Huh? Where are the devotees who do that? No, Prabhu, you don't have to pay me to do the pots. I'll just do them voluntarily. I'm so attached to doing Krishna's service. And this is a humble service that I like doing. It's good for me. These guys, no, I'm not doing the pots. How much you pay me? Is that all? You make a slave so hard, exploiting people. That is the kind of mentality you get sometimes. We're the brahmacharis, we don't have to wash Krishna's pots, but you get some of these other guys to do it. I come from an old school where we didn't pay people to do the pots. These days, it's hard to find somebody to do the pots. So, what does that mean? If anybody wants to do the pots, by the way, there are openings. We do have openings for pot washers. Paid or unpaid, whichever you prefer. So why is that? Because we're not on that level yet. And you can only do it for so long. It's good to do that. In the beginning it's good. Do anything for Krishna. Definitely good to do anything for Krishna. Okay, do this. Yeah, I'm a devotee. Return to Krishna, I'll do anything. But after a while, we'll come up against our guna and our karma. Our natural qualities and our propensity to act will come out. So therefore, we engage that. So mums should be mums. And dads should be dads. Right? And take on the responsibility that comes with it. Take on the responsibility that comes with it. Not, I'm transcendental. I'm a transcendentalist. And I'm sick of the wife and the kids. I'm going to the forest. Huh? And we've seen this abused actually within this one. Within society. These things have been abused. Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Where was the section you were just reading from?
That's in Srinivasan. Yeah, I won't find the book either. That's the commentary that Guruji Prabhu has written. I'll finish this off. I didn't read it all this morning. But both Nishkam Karma Yogis are free from reaction. Both this one, which is more, as we've just discussed, nicely pointed out, more of a Brahmavadi mentality or understanding, and this is more of a Bhakta. Both are free from reaction because they practice detachment in knowledge. But the Nishkam Karma Yogi who aspires for Krishna's loving service is far superior. He may not yet be on the level of transcendental devotional service, But his activities will one day lead him to Krishna's lotus feet. Right? The Nishkam Kama Yogi who knows only that he is not his body may, if he desires Brahmavad liberation, gradually attain mukti. So that's mentioned here. Or if his transcendental knowledge increases because he associates with Vaishnavas, as we were just discussing, he may elevate his desire to attain Krishna's service. And that's really important. The key feature for making spiritual advancement is the association of the devotees. Just like, in Sanatana Goswami's Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopal Kumar goes all over the universe, goes to the heavenly planets and travels all over, even goes to Vaikuntha. But because he's an eternal resident in Vrindavan, eventually what does he do? He has to come back to Roma, Vrindavan on planet Earth, and again associate with the devotees. He's gone and seen all of these big bhaktas, the Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even gets to Vaikuntha, but then what does he do? In order to get entrance into Vrindavan, he has to come back to Earth and associate with the devotees there. And learn how to be a devotee. Very interesting. I think your battery needs charging. It's a Nokia battery out of juice. Srila Prabhupada's purport brings this verse to the level of bhakti. Lord Krishna, now directly says, that's probably Glenn with the keys. With my keys, can you just...
No, it was that block on the ground.
Oh, the block. No. It's a knock on the door. We didn't read all the purport, did we? I did read this bit. Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting because he desires the battle. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or gain, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. But everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna's transcendental consciousness, so there's no reaction to material activities. Right? Because we have to be careful of that. That means, it's for Krishna, we don't have to be too attached to the result. So, take it easy. Could be right. We're Vaikuntha men, no worries. No, we should be attached to the result for Krishna, not attached to the result for ourselves. Krishna in this verse has directly instructed Arjuna to fight. Through his order, although his order is in the form of requesting Arjuna to fight dutifully for the sake of fighting, actually Arjuna's fighting will ultimately be impelled by his desire to fulfill this order of Krishna's. That is bhakti. Krishna wants Arjuna to fight on his order as his surrendered servant with bhakti, detached from the results. In this way, Arjuna will remain sinless. Righto. Any other comments or questions? How's the time going?
20 past 11.
20 past 11. Okay, we'll probably finish early. No, maybe not. What I want you to do is pair up. So it's not going to be groups, it's pairs. Right? You know what a pair is?
Yeah.
Good. What I want you to do is discuss amongst yourselves, or between each other, the differences between the two Swadharmas in practical terms. Right? And we'll read what Prabhupada says about Swadharma at the beginning. There are two kinds of swadharmas, specific duties. As long as one is not liberated, one has to perform the duties of his particular body in accordance with the religious principles in order to achieve liberation. When one is liberated, one's swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. So one is conditioned by the body and the other is our eternal service mood in relationship to Krishna. Huh? Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a what? Magistrate. What would you say a magistrate was? What's that? Brahminical?
Mm.
It really is, yes, it's a
going to the service of a Kshatriya. But then he would go home and write all books about Krishna consciousness. And in fact, in his final years, he stopped his magistrate's work. And in the final year or so, just completely absorbed in Nijan Bhajan. No association with others. Just completely absorbed in his Swadharma based on liberated platform. Right? Just to get an idea of what the two are. So, when one is liberated, one's Swadharma, specific duty, becomes spiritual and is not in the material bodily concept. In the bodily conception of life, there are specific duties for the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas respectively, and, as I mentioned, Vaishyas and Sudras as well. And such duties are unavoidable. Right? That means we can't avoid... That's why Krishna's saying, you're a Kshatriya. Forget about being a yogi and going living in the forest. Ridiculous. Swadharma is ordained by the Lord, and this will be clarified in the fourth chapter. On the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Vanashram Dharma. So what I want you to do is discuss the differences between these two as far as possible in practical terms. Then consider for 1 or 2 minutes what duty you should follow. Right? So you have to talk for, say, 5 minutes on the differences between these two, or the similarities even, right? Then consider what your personal duty should be in relationship to these. If you're on the liberated platform, then what duties you should be performing, and if you're on the conditional platform, what duties you should be performing. And then discuss your conclusions with your partner and the rationale behind them. Why do you think you're a Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya or Brahmana, and should act on that platform? Why? Right? Then what's the time now?
Half past.
Okay, so 15 minutes to do those two exercises. Then we'll finish at that point, 11:45, and then I'll give you another couple of things to do after you've worked out what your Swadharma is. Is that okay? I'll just finish this off. On the bodily plane, Swadharma, Vanashram Dharma, or man's stepping stone for on the bodily plane, Swadharma is called Vanashram Dharma, or man's stepping stone for spiritual understanding. Here, listen to this. Human civilization begins from the stage of Vanashram Dharma, or specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authorities, serves to elevate one to a higher status of life. So, who hasn't got a partner? Nobody's putting their hands up? Okay. Incidental, we have to follow the duties according to our nature. According to the prescriptions given by higher authority, that's what Prabhupada mentions in the purport. And then we can come to the transcendental platform as a result. Point was brought up here. we're conditioned, so how can we be transcendental? How can we be transcendental? This mentioned, we were looking at the Nectar Devotion last year, and Rupa Goswami mentions that if you engage in the five angas, the Panchanga Bhakti, five angas of devotional service, they're so potent and powerful that simply by performing those activities, one can be elevated very quickly. One can get a glimpse or a taste of the transcendental. In our case, transcendental meaning a glimpse of pure devotional service, basically, because that's what leads us to the transcendental platform. Panchanga Bhakti. First one is Sadhu Sangha. Association of the devotees. Second one is Nam Sankirtan. Which we're thinking of starting up on a Friday night. Not we're going to. We're going to do Harinam every Friday night downtown. So if you want to come, experience Panchanga Bhakti at its most ecstatic, come out on Harinam with us on Friday evenings downtown. Third one is Bhagavat Shravan. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth one is Murti. I don't know what the, I can't remember. I think it's Seva. I can't remember whether that's actually the word used in the worshipping the deity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the fifth one is Mathura Vasi. Mathura Vasi. Just like we have Rajbasi. Same thing. Rajbasi means resident of Vrindavan. Raj. Mathura Vasi means residing in a holy or a sacred place. Right? So engaging in these five forms of devotional service, very potent, especially in any one of these activities, performing the association of devotees, extraordinarily powerful activities that will elevate us out of the material conceptions into the spiritual understanding of things.
How is the chanting of the holy name of Srila Prabhupada?
Nam Sankirtan. Nam Sankirtan. Chanting Hare Krishna. It's there.
So probably this is almost like our nine transcendental duties, the Shravana Kirtana Vishnu Svaranam Pada Sevam. Is not the same if you follow that, is it?
Yeah, well, the nine items of devotional service are contained within this. This is one of them. This is one of them. This is one of them. Yeah.
These are the prominent.
This is the top five activities.
Is it in the importance order price?
Don't know. Don't think so. They all are considered. I have not met the devotion here, so I can't quote.
There's no order for the pay as quickly.
No, well, this is, now this is the order that they're mentioned, I think, in the lists that pop up quotes in the Nectar Devotion and then Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is how they're listed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very powerful activities that can take a neophyte to a very elevated platform. Especially Nam Sankirtan, all of them actually, not just one of them, all of them.
Most of the people don't follow four things.
Sorry?
Most of the people have to follow more in four and five points. The sun is under the green area in the temple.
You're doing all of them.
You can do this at home. You can make your house a place of a sacred place. What can you do?
It's not like you have to go to the Vrindavan.
It's not practical. Is the bank got a branch in Vrindavan that you can go and look at? No, I didn't think so. No, you create Muda Vrindavan in your residence or in a community of devotees. Right? We don't have to go to Vrindavan. In fact, Vrindavan is such a place, an interesting place, that the Muda Vrindavan is sometimes not, you won't find it there. You go to Vrindavan, you think this place is worse than downtown Melbourne. Guys are always hassling you for money. Come here. Huh? It's dirty. Health goes down. Different things. So, Mathura, the real mood of Vrindavan is actually covered sometimes in Vrindavan itself. Huh? Or if one enters Mathura, if one enters Vrindavan with the right mood, with the right meditation, then it's easily accessible. But Krishna's desire in such a way so that he's actually covered the original Vrindavan with hogs and dogs and camels and asses. But it's the mood of Vrindavan that we want.
Also, Prabhupada said, if we are living near the temple, as good as living near the temple.
Yeah, living near the temple, associating with the devotees, that makes the attractive place.